everyone. Welcome to Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort. Without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Sweet man, but how's it been?
Oh, so good, man. Just been working and making music and hanging out, dude. It's been pretty nice.
Right on. You're still up in Mill Creek, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm up here actually with my parents right now, just kind of shacked up with them. I'm over here at the bands in Shoreline. Also, my neighbor is, she's weed whacking right now. So if she's still weed whacking, by the time we're ready, then I'll go inside. So it doesn't.
Sweet, man. I appreciate you taking the time, and I just really love what you're doing right now. So I thought it'd be awesome to just highlight it and really just jump ahead too. I was thinking of releasing this one, you know, whenever I can get it. Yeah, I mean, so you've been staying busy as far, well, I guess this would be good podcast stuff as well, but just staying busy, you know, creating and...
Hell yeah, bro. I mean, like, I have that luxury because this is all I was doing before this, so it's not like I have to scramble to fill my time with something. So now it's like, oh, I can actually finally, you know, create a project and see it through and pursue features and shit, you know? So, yeah, it's good stuff, man. I'm feeling acutely aware of what's going on and how to move next in a time where there's turmoil. So that's what's interesting, because I feel like this is almost like the Roaring Twenties or like any sort of renaissance, you know. Within that, a lot of great art gets created. A lot of fucked up stuff happens. Everything's getting jostled. I kind of like chaos, I think.
I'm with you. The problem I've had is that my work's been getting crazy. So I've worked more 12-hour days in the past like 3-4 weeks than I ever have before.
No way.
And so I'm trying to fit, because I low-key was excited too. I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to create so much stuff. I have no commute. I'm going to hop on, hop off.
Right.
And because of the remote nature, and we support IT companies, they're all wanting to get, and we're a marketing agency, they want to get content out now. I've been trying to figure out ways where I can get creative, and part of that was figuring out the podcast. And that has been my passion project. I've always found when doing these interviews, all of a sudden I get fired up and then I'm down to go create stuff. But the past like couple of weeks, I've been struggling to like carve out that time.
Yeah. That's why I hit the waking creates. Like no phone, wake up, do it, then it's done.
That's awesome. I guess where to start? We could go we've got the pre-COVID MLB, and then we've got what you're doing now. Obviously, you're all staying busy, but do you want to walk me through kind of what the past couple weeks have looked like?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's been pretty chaotic, and as a creative and as a basketball player, people that like just by nature have to make pretty quick decisions, in the moment decisions, I'm feeling pretty at home with, you know, uncertainty. So it's been interesting to see other people's reactions to their lives becoming a lot more uncertain, and then carving out my own just routine that I can rely on each and every day to make sure I'm productive and using the time to create modern art and be a part of the big current discussions that are being had in our city and really everywhere across the nation.
Yeah, it's been super cool to see. I know we were talking a little bit about this over the past couple of days, but really cool stuff that you're doing with the city. And what I've found really insightful is the dialogue that you've started with artists and venues alike, right? So I know you've got the Freelance Artist Consortium of Seattle that you've been kickstarting. And then honestly, just on social media, creating that conversation, being like, hey, you know, there's some stuff that wasn't right for artists before this, and it's a great opportunity to work together. I guess not to spring too much on you real quick, but do you want to talk a little bit about just, you know, kind of what you're doing in the community and what's going on?
This has actually been one of the most challenging but also rewarding moments of my musical career. When I got started with music, And, you know, if you're familiar with the music that we put out, Run In or Shaman, Head Nod, Superwoman, you know, all of it is poised to make an impact on our surroundings. And so when I got into music, it was, I left school, Carnegie Mellon, to eat. I was there to be a politician, you know? So for me to, you know, the whole thing was to be able to relate to people and be able to create impact through a grassroots movement. And it's actually happened for the first time tangibly in my career. And as someone aspiring to change the world through music, basically for people that are unaware, I woke up a lot of times on my Instagram, I just wake up and say things, you know, first thing that comes to my mind. And that day I had seen a good friend of mine, Rashid, tweet something, and there'd been something that him and I had had multiple conversations about prior. So I really just voiced the opinion that, hey, artists right now are the backbone of our arts community in all ways, all people that work in the arts as freelance artists. We are the ones that create the culture, create the excitement, engage our friends. And, you know, maybe our scene's not exactly what we want it to be, but those 10,000 people that are circulating through our scene frequently, they're here on the backs of artists that work in conjunction, without a doubt, with the venues. But, you know, it's our art that's fueling the scene. And when we're talking about getting money distributed at the state level, I think that artists need to be heavily considered in that discussion alongside of the venues and the art institutions that provide, you know, already amazing things to the Seattle scene. So that was an opinion I spoke up on that, you know, I just woke up and said it. It wasn't something that I was sitting there with a teleprompter or anything like that. It just went crazy on Twitter, you know, 4,000 views, something like that, and sparked a discussion. Probably, you know, 80% were people speaking up agreeing with me, 20% were people saying, hey, you're an idiot for this reason. And obviously it's a passionate subject. So the great news that came out of all of it was that I was introduced to people that have been doing this work for decades. So obviously this is a lot larger conversation than just me waking up and spouting off at the mouth. It's something that is happening all throughout the world, really, in every music scene, where artists are really fighting for a stakehold to be in the discussion and at the table when people are doling out systems for funds to be distributed across the whole state and the city to decide what's next. You know, how do we make this thing better? How do we do that? And I think that, you know, artists deserve a chance because we are the creative ones to have our voice heard during that. And the great news is after the dialogue, even though some people disagreed and we were able to work through that, and now we're all coming together and creating this, you know, you talked about it, FACTS, Freelance Artist Consortium of Seattle. You almost say it better than me. It's so great. But it's going to be something that, you know, the state has acknowledged and other people have acknowledged as important, and hopefully written into bylaws and legislation to ensure that artists here in Seattle have a direct line of communication when procedures and funds are being distributed. So insane, super complex stuff. You know, I'm a rapper. I could talk rap all day. But when it comes to legislation, I'm really getting schooled by Julie C, Mashad, Matthew, and the rest of the FACTS squad. Rashid and Sylvia have really helped me out as well. So, you know, I'm learning on the fly, and this kind of my first foray into politics. It's crazy.
That's wild, man. This is why I'm a big fan of you. And for y'all listening that aren't familiar, we're sitting here with Marshall of Marshall Law Band. And I've always been a fan of the art you do, obviously, but always when we first met about what, year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that, just that fire you had, and it's always been about the bigger picture. And you just have fully committed yourself to this, not only in I'm going to be a great artist, but what does that mean? And you really, to me, encompass what an artist is, and you're looking out for others around you. And I feel like that's not super common with folks, or as common as I'd like it to be. So with that conversation that you were talking about, you mentioned there was about 80% agreeing, 20% not. Have you noticed, obviously it's a tough time, so with like the COVID-19 and all that, so people are on edge already. And so I'm sure there was some people that came out hot, right? Have you found people kind of easing back in, or how'd you find that 20% respond after having like, hey, I'm here to work with y'all?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think even myself, you know, I came out the gates in a lot of people's opinion. You know, people are so used to me smiling, spreading the love, really just pushing positivity at all time, that anytime my tone switches from, hey, really excited, to just, oh, wow, Marshall has a very serious tone, that alone is kind of jarring for people. And that's something that I learned. People like aren't used to me really being direct with my words. So I myself have like eased off the gas, just like the people that initially reacted towards what they viewed as a potentially aggressive stance, which it didn't mean to come off that way, but it was an impassioned wake up in them. Just wake up and say what's on your mind about a subject. And, you know, I learned a lot from it, as I feel like some of the people that engaged in dialogues with me also learned. And, you know, to be honest, ever since I've started just promoting the potential of, you know, a de facto Seattle Musicians Union and the ability for artists to really represent each other on a membership basis and direct line of communication, I really haven't gotten any pushback. It's all love now, you know? And so I think me going through that, learning how to refine it, getting with the experts, has allowed it so that most people are just in agreement and see where I'm coming from. And the real question is, and I'd love to hear anybody's thought on this, is like, would we have been able to get to this point to where we're able to amicably discuss things if I didn't come out so hot out of the gate to begin with and create a discussion loud enough that the state itself says, okay, how are we going to address the artists having some, you know, backlash for venues trying to garner their funds instead of it going directly to the artist? You know, how are we going to address this? The fact that a rapper can, and from Seattle, can just say that and it's getting discussed, you know, at the highest levels, to me is mind-boggling, a learning experience, and like humbling. So yeah, I'm just, my head's still kind of spinning from it, but I'm optimistic as can be.
Yeah, and one thing that I thought was funny, or not funny, but one thing that was really interesting to see was kind of that initial response, right? And I thought you came across like really positive, to be honest. You just seemed passionate, so I was all hyped up. And I, even on Facebook, I won't name any names, but I saw some venue owners even kind of speak out, and they kind of came in hot too. And I get it, right? It's their livelihood, and they're sitting there going, I'm struggling right now. But your point was kind of, look, it, like you just said, if this hadn't happened, would you all have even noticed kind of the lack of equity here between artists and the venues? So I guess, have you had any offline conversations? Does that seem to be, do venues seem to be coming into the fold and being like, we understand your pain points here?
I mean, honestly, it's been amazing to really see, you know, if you go back and do the digging and track it and you go to see who's signed on to the open letters, you know, you'll see that some of those same people are now standing in support of what we're doing to some degree, at least saying, hey, we hear you coming to the table. And that's beautiful to me. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you know, people at all levels of venues, a lot of my friends work in venues, you know, people like, I think it's also like kind of funny because if anyone knows me personally or knows of my music, who's played more shows than me and dealt with more venues than me in the Seattle area over the past 2 years, I've easily played over 100 shows, done Mojam Mondays 25 times alone, you know? So it's like, I have great interactions with many venues, but you know, it's just something to speak up on a larger scale. When big conversations are being had, and artists deserve to have a voice in that conversation. So, you know, we're teamed up with everybody. Nobody's upset about anything. Everybody is ready to just work. And I'm sure that over time, I'll understand more where they're coming from. They'll understand more where I'm coming from. And hopefully we'll just make great, great events together and supported by the state. And the scene will just boom as a result of it. But also to answer your question, a lot of people reached out, like interns reached out. Like people that worked at the bar reached out, people that were just sound people reached out, you know, it wasn't so much management or whatever reaching out as it was the people that were like, hey, we want artists to feel heard here. Absolutely. Like, what can I do to make you feel more represented? And that really made me feel good and supported as well, that I guess the common folk, if you will, or whatever, saw maybe not eye to eye, but saw validity in my feelings. And that was really cool. So nothing really but support. I think I'm like a perfectionist, so anytime somebody says anything mean about me, it kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. But I get over it, and you know, it's been a blessing. So super excited.
That's great, man. And for those who hadn't heard about this dialogue yet, on both sides of the table here, how can they get involved, or what kind of conversations are y'all having and continuing to have? And
totally. So, I mean, the real thing, I guess, in a nutshell, what's going on out here is that the city has led a couple initiatives into the arts, most specifically as of late, into the film industry, and invested like large sums of money into the film industry to do things to, like, you know, jumpstart it. And, you know, pre-COVID, there was a discussion about, hey, now it's, let's do something with the music scene. Let's really get the music scene going the way it's supposed to. Kate Becker is kind of, you know, the face of that towards the creatives, and doing amazing work over there. So this was pre-COVID. Then when COVID happened, all this is getting expedited very quickly. So, you know, people think this conversation and this money is going to get distributed throughout a year, maybe 2 years, and, you know, they have plenty of time. But now that COVID's happening, it's like, okay, wow, it's go time now. What are we going to do to jumpstart the music scene, the venue scene, the nightlife scene, right after we're allowed to, basically? And so those are the discussions that are being had right now. And the best way to get involved is, if you're an artist yourself, you know, look into what FAX is doing and see if you identify with the mission. Do your own research and join in and become a voting member, to where we'll put things to the, you know, we'll put things to the voting membership and say, hey, do you want to see more hygiene in venues, and how would you like to go about seeing this? You know, this is something we can all agree on. I'm sure venues can agree on this, right? And then, so the voting membership will be able to discuss that, but view, you know, weigh in, and they'll have direct representation. And so, you know, if you want to support on the venue level or whatever level, you know, we're all working simultaneously towards making this a bigger scene. You know, they have their own information you can look up, you know, and support them. You can contact your senator or whatnot directly. You know, they're doing, that's the type of campaign they're doing over there. So there's plenty of ways to get involved. And you can also, the thing that's great about Seattle and why I fight so hard for it is that artists like myself, like you, like venue owners, we're all so accessible. You can literally just reach out to us. In any other state, people that are having these type of conversations are probably a little bit more difficult to contact. You can literally just DM me, and I'll probably respond right to you myself. So, you know, reach out, get involved. And if you're passionate about politics and you're passionate about music, now's the time to be awoke.
Absolutely. That's awesome, man. And for folks who, again, are unfamiliar, want to get to know FAX a little bit, is there a website up and running? We can obviously get the links up when the podcast goes live, but
I'm not exactly sure about the website going up now. So I guess a little history on this. Again, remember, I'm coming into this conversation. I'm young, you know, I'm new to this conversation. There's people that have been doing this for years. You know, the mentor of which that I'm directly taking my cues and orders from, and someone that I know is doing the right type of work, and I feel that my soul, is a Julie C. Right. So she's been doing, you know, artist advocacy for years, doing it at all types of levels. And she had her own organization. There's a couple other groups that are floating around, Nate Omdale and Fair Trade Music, and Mashad already had his. As soon as COVID stopped, they stopped doing all, or started, COVID started, they stopped doing anything independently and came together as a team, a bunch of bosses. And that created Seattle's independent artist sustainability effort. And so that was kind of their initial response. With the added, like, in exposure of the conversation, that sparked it to where the scope of what's needed is even larger than the sustainability effort. It's time to create a governing body to interact with, you know, state legislation and whatnot. So now that is itself FAX. And that's what we're creating, and it's new and every day. And the greatest thing is, I'm in Zoom calls with people that are like, they know what they're talking about. You feel me? They're super serious. Me, I'm posting on mute. I'm eating, like, you know, I'm hanging out, and I'm chiming in when they need me, and I'm just absorbing like a sponge. But there are some super smart people, super well-experienced people working behind this, and they believe in this cause. And so I think the membership's already up past 500, and, like, I myself haven't put it out yet. And so I think we're going to represent a great, great faction of our community and do some great work. So just FAX is, it's an ever evolving, changing thing, I guess.
That's awesome, man. And so how, you mentioned, you know, you went to school for politics initially. So did you ever see it coming around like this? I know obviously that was the initial thought, and then music took over, and now you're here. Like, is it pretty surreal?
It's honestly about as crazy as it gets, you know, and for me, I just live my life a lot differently than most people, and I'm really just fully committed in this and trying to be as much as in the moment as possible. So, you know, something like this happens, I'm looking at it like, hey, you know, if I got a documentary, this is definitely a chapter, you know, this is definitely something like, whoa, okay, the dots are getting connected, and hopefully be able to use it as a launch pad to create a bigger platform for my music, because it does have a message, and that is a message of unity, of action, you know, I believe it, you know, at a cerebral and a core level. So, yeah, I'm trying to make it happen, Gavin, you know?
Yeah.
Make it happen. I don't know. I can't sit still. It just doesn't work for me.
No, it's a beautiful thing, man. And on that note, I guess you mentioned it does create a great platform. Obviously, we can't tell what's going to happen. There's a lot of stuff, moving pieces. But in an ideal world, what's this look like for you in the next, like, couple months, year? What are you hoping to see out of this? And how do you think that it can really impact the artists in the scene? Because, again, you're talking about this is the first time that at least I had heard about the government actually allocating funds towards artists. So, to me, this is unprecedented.
Yeah, it's super wild. I mean, there's been times where, like, there's a bunch of programs that are, like, designed to aid artists, you know, Gigs mm-hmm. for You or For Culture or, you know, the City Arts. You know, these are all aimed to help artists, and they do a great deal. But a lot of times, it's not someone like you and me. I can go mm-hmm. and people know who I am in the artist community, and we'll go straight to you. People know who you are, and we don't have that direct line. And the mm-hmm. fact that artists can have representation on a one-to-one level, that is the part that hopefully can be spread throughout the nation as a precedent of, hey, artists need to be in this conversation. Because I think if we take, like, the structure of those city councils and arts councils, and then you add the creativity of an artist that's thinking in real time, they're going to be able to sculpt that idea into just a more lively product for the whole Seattle scene, in my opinion. And that's what I've seen with people getting creative in their events. And, you know, I can point to 30 people in the city that are very creative with their events. So, you know, that's pretty wild. In an ideal world.
Yeah, it is, man. And I guess one thing that we didn't talk about in the podcast last time you were on hadn't happened yet, actually, was Culture Fest. So, What is that look like? That's an event, obviously, you put together, was hugely successful, had a lot of great engagement, and I mean, it was just fun. Like, I just enjoyed kicking it there. But how can these kind of programs, these activities, impact events like that? If we were to give, like, a real world case study, I mean, what kind of support can we see filtering into these kinds of events?
Absolutely. And so now I'm going to show you my growth and maturity that's happened within the past 11 days. Of course, you know, anything that's going to be created is going to be done in creation or in solidarity with facts and with a collaboration of people. That being said, if I'm just allowed to be myself and flow off the top of what I can envision this impact for the scene is, I mean, what I view is, like, events like Culture Fest, you know, like events like the Belltown Bash, they get some serious state funding. And mm-hmm. well, I know from experience, Culture Fest, Splash Fest, the Gala, you know, these are $4,000, $5,000 budgets. They're really nothing crazy. And if the state really said, hey, we want to see this thing flourish and pump some funds and came up with a creative marketing campaign and really put some, we could work hand in hand and idea share and teach each other how to throw thriving events. I think if someone put like $20,000 into Belltown Bash or Culture Fest, it would be the best party that's ever happened here in Seattle.
I mean, it was one of the best. Those were some of the best parties to happen in Seattle with just the artists. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're already crazy, you know? So even if we had, even if I didn't have to worry about my rent check and I could just like, no, okay, hey, I could clearly pay this person without it coming out of pocket. There's plenty of creatives around the town that, given that sort of freedom, I know they can make the scene just so much more popping. And if we really work together and schedule it properly, all the venues can eat, all the creatives can eat, and people's events can be a lot more successful. And so that's one of the ways I envision it happening. Another way is like, hey, going into the schools, say we give 10 schools $10,000 each, and one of the classes throughout the semester is to throw a festival of Seattle artists for your school, right?
Yeah.
And so you're like, all right, this host is $100. Here's their links. You know, this martial law band is $500 or whatever, you know what I mean? And so they can piece it together and they can all throw their festivals. They can throw like talent shows around it to to learn how to throw festivals. And now we're investing in the youth to become active members in our scene and event coordinators. You know, really treating the industry and maturing the industry like you would any other field. And so it's going to require some more professionalism on the artist part. And so, you know, that was one of the points that I heard people saying too, like, yeah, maybe your band brings 400 people, but what about the band that brings 11 and didn't promote? Like, you know, you can't say all artists deserve a certain amount of pay. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Everything is merit-based, but I think if we put some real intention into where the procedures and fundings are going at the state level into the artistry, some beautiful things can happen. And especially for groups that have struggled to be successful in Seattle as of late, hip hop, punk, you know, rock, like these things got to come back. And if we, you know, those people deserve a little extra love and care in allowing the scene to develop and foster.
Absolutely. And that's an interesting thing too, that you bring up, is some of those genres that haven't been getting the love is when you look at like the 90s, for example, it was those artists you were talking about, just different renaissance, right? That 90s renaissance was the artists coming together and really finding their space, and they invested in each other really. But I think it's a fantastic point of if we start investing, and really, I love your point about bringing the schools into it and the kids, because there's a lot of different skills that go into a show. I always think it's artistry and putting on shows is a great example of how so many different aspects of business come together. And giving, yeah, kids, like high school kids, though, that kind of experience and exposure to this. I mean, you're talking budget management, you're talking, like you said, event planning.
Right. They can create their own campaign, their own website. Like, they can really make it cool. And that's what I'm saying when I'm talking about, if you provide the structure of the bureaucracy with the creativity of an artist, what beautiful things can come as a result of it. So, you know, and again, this hasn't even been checked by the OG that has probably already have a bunch of bylaws written up how to properly, you know, pass this through, because I realize there's complexity to everything. And so the fact that I, like, there's a whole team of people that actually know how to implement some of these creative ideas, just even within our own camp, imagine if we were all collaborative, how much more we can make the scene blossom. You know, we got money here, we got people here, and we have great artists here. It's just missing a little something. And so I think this could be it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is all super exciting stuff. And what I love is this like artist centric focus that you've got, kind of carrying along that lens, like as an artist in these kind of challenging times, how are you staying sane? I know we talked, you've got like the Wake and Create stuff that you've got going, but what have you found really successful in just staying creative and then just staying mentally healthy kind of in these times?
Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt, it's challenging. So I'm not going to say I'm going to be able to write a book when it's all said and done out of this, that I'm the go-to, you know, template. But what I will say, and what's been best for me, is that I'm doing these Wake and Creates, as you mentioned, where I wake up and I don't look at my phone under any circumstance. And so I just wake up with my blinds open. Again, this is the luxury of being a creative, and I realize I'm privileged and not everybody has this luxury, but if you do, you know, just wake up whenever life tells you to wake up. Today was like 9:15 ish, you know, and then don't look at my phone. I put on I meditate or do a little mindfulness. Just even if I don't meditate, it doesn't have to be something super deep in your mind and stuff. You just be like, hey, today I'm going to focus on being as grateful as I can, because there's people who can't walk. It's something that simple. And so that'll at least frame your mind, instead of it being somebody's tweet or somebody's Facebook. The first thing you frame your mind is something positive. And then, so, you know, I get water, you know, do whatever I got to do, and then come back, put on a beat, clean my room, and make a song. And I don't like touch anything. I don't look at any social media until at least like a verse and the first chorus are done. So like I have like a whole thought catalyst to like be able to go back on. Then I'll listen to it a bunch of times, film my Wake and Create in the morning, and that's like how I start my day. Usually that'll take me till about noon. Then, you know, me, I'm just kind of like as y'all can probably tell, you know, it's like I can't sit still. So I'm listening to this song for like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times or whatever, and then I'm like, all right, it's time to go on a run. So I'll listen to that, or I'll listen to another beat, or I'll listen to past projects. And so, you know, I'm up to 30, 35 songs, and we can create day 29. And, you know, I've gotten to do songs with like you, Alter, some of the features on my first project, like I'll Let It Go, because I'm going to talk about it tomorrow anyways, like the Nomads, you know, we're doing a song together.
Hell
really
yeah.
Excited about that, you know, Macintosh, like it's really been, it's been good. It's a good time for me to just get in my own creative space and making that many songs. Last time I did that was probably like 2017. So that's usually how I'd go into my creative process. I just hunker down and make as many tracks as humanly possible.
That's awesome. And what have you found has been inspiring you? What kind of stuff you listen to? You mentioned you're getting obviously original material sent to you, but during this kind of phase of your creativity, what's got you inspired?
A lot of it, you know, and you'll hear it from the Wake and Create project that I'm deciding I'm going to release whenever, the day they let us out of here, that's when I'm going to release it. So I got it loaded. I'm ready. It's super sick concepts, like different. Whenever they let us out, that's going to be the, like the celebratory for me at least. But, you know, initially through the first, you know, the first Wake and Create, probably 7 songs. He was just talking about, wow, like my whole life has changed. All this whole, I was going to go on tour, nationwide tour, you know, those plans got canceled. You know, some of my friends are already sick, so I'm worried about that. You know, I'm looking at life as, okay, I'll, you know, I'm chasing my dreams, but where does it happen in this new landscape of things? And then also kind of just reflective of, ooh, wow, I actually do have some stake in the current landscape of a music scene, which in itself, as a kid, you know, I looked up, I still do look up to the Nomads. 10 years ago, I remember seeing the Nomads at a party in Snohomish thinking like, hey, these guys are so cool, you know? And for them to be my peers, my friends, and to get on a track together, it's just a reflective moment. So it's definitely like a chapter, all these Wake and Creates. And then once that one was done, then it's starting to just do deeper dives into my mind, love life, you know, relationships with parents. That was like the next wave of 7 songs, all the Jabber beats. And the next wave after that was like, this is about when I started tripping. This is about when I got myself in trouble. This was
No.
I started talking about, you know, deep diving my experience with just like my childhood, you know, upbringing, racism in the past, institutions in the past, you know, like the 4 or 5 songs prior towards me speaking up were all like super like thoughtful and like deep, heavy stuff, you know? So it was really no surprise. I guess I was geared up for it, but you know, and then, you know, as of late, it's kind of been fun taking this activism, taking this new energy, taking this like, ooh, some people don't like me. Ooh, some people do like me. This new energy that's kind of bouncing around and encapsulating that into probably the last 7 or 8 songs I've made. And then, you know, like the song I made with you was like more like a character type song. So that's like pretending you're somebody else and just going after it. So, you know, of the 33 songs, I probably just broke down damn near all of them. And
that's awesome, man. Yeah, it's cool to be able to explore all these different facets of yourself too, because you've got like the micro and the macro level stuff going on, it sounds like, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a deep dive. It's like, you know, for creatives, if there's, as you know, like when you're writing a bunch of songs, it's kind of like it's like a midlife crisis or something, a little bit. Like,
totally.
Your family knows you're sensitive. You know, my girl's like, uh-oh, he's in his creative mood, you know. it's just kind of stuff that comes with the territory. And thankfully, I've been able to stay fairly healthy with it, you know, working out. I was still vegetarian, not drinking too much, you know.
There you go.
Not doing anything I'm not supposed to be doing, and making sure mentally I'm in, spiritually and physically I'm staying on top of it as well. So. Yeah, I'm in a good place, and I think the music reflects that.
Yeah, dude, you've been keeping my spirits up on this end, too. I've been really enjoying all the content you're putting out, and it really is awesome scene. I can't wait to hear all this stuff, and the Hawaii EP is great, too, by the way. So I'm glad I got to get a hold of it. For those of y'all listening, go purchase it from, you can get a download. Is that still going on?
So that whole thing is actually really cool, too. We're going to put it online now, right? So it's kind of been time. But like for the past 3 months, we've been selling it. And we have made more selling our album. Not like it's some sort of astronomical. We're still all, you know what I'm saying? But we have made more, like 8 times more selling our album than we did through streaming all last
year. Oh, yeah. You know? So I can imagine. Like,
this model is something that I encourage all artists to start doing, you know, whatever you can, is this the right word? Commodify? I know monetize is the right word, but what is commoditize?
Oh, like, I don't know. I like it though. Like, turn it into a commodity and monetize it. Commoditize, let's roll with it.
Monetize and monetize, do it. And even if it's 300 bucks here, 400 bucks there, you know, this is the time. I think we're all aware now. It's like, hey, we got to start filing our artist taxes. We need to start being aware and accountable for every single penny that comes in so that when situations do happen or the state does have some funding for us, you know, our books look the right way. So, you know, that's something I would suggest to the artist and be like, hey,
absolutely,
make $1,000 off your album before you release it. Go make $1,000 off your album before you release it.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that just gives you all the more to pursue more creative endeavors too. That's awesome to hear, man. I'm glad people responded well to it, because it's especially for this time, it's just got all the positivity in there. So in these times where we're stuck indoors,
right,
close that's your eyes.
The band members over here like, Marshall, will you just drop the Hawaii EP and just shut up, man, you know? I'm waiting. We're supposed to have it out by now. I don't know what the holdup is, but it'll be here within the next week or so for the public to just digest. And there's music on there that will take you to the beach of Hawaii. Chris King.
Oh,
has
absolutely.
No, like, come on.
Yeah, that's gonna be my plan this weekend. Is I got a little balcony here, sunshine, some Hawaii vibes.
Yes. What's up with our song? When's our song coming out?
Dude, that's a great question. I need to get back on the grind, but dude, I'd be down to just drop it whenever, you know. I feel like it's one of those. I'd be down to put it out there, because I've been kind of getting a pipeline of some new stuff that I'm working on. But I've always felt that song. I wanted to give that song a lot more love, and I appreciate you, you know, dedicating your creativity to it.
Heck yeah, that was tight. And the people had great response to it online too. Like, that was one of the, like, of the Waking Creates, that was probably top 10 that people were like, were responding to.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I'm so happy to, dude, that song was so fun to make. And I kind of got in character for that one too, because it had a lot of double meaning in there. So it was funny, because Kay the other day was like, you're going to get me in trouble. Like, you're making me feel a little bit bad.
Right?
You know? And I was like,
my
girl
hasn't heard it yet. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, so it was funny, because I mean, she knows what it's about for me. And but obviously I wanted to put it in a context that everybody understands, you know, and we've all been there. And yeah, the other day she's like, yeah, you make me feel a little bad and feel a little weird when other people,
hey,
we know, listen.
This could be a podcast all of its own, talking about as an artist how to maneuver your relationship in your lyrics. But so far this quarantine, you know, I've had some weird lyrics. I haven't done anything like Eminem like or anything,
right? Yeah,
that would really raise any red flags. But yeah, that definitely, Danny hasn't heard that one yet, but I made a love song today, so you know, I hope I'm making up for it. And I got a love song on this album coming up here, and so I've never really put out love songs before. They're very vulnerable, but they're,
dude, those are tough too, because it's like you gotta really commit. Otherwise, that's when people are like, oh, this is corny. But when you commit, that's when it hits. But it's also like, that's also scariest to put that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think the one I got is like, it's a hit, man. It's just it's a great feeling. You can't help but listen to it and smile. So I know that alone for me is why a great majority of why I already make music. So I know it's already a win in that regard. You know, now it's just a matter of taste. And how people, you know, again, I'm trying to just detach myself from people's reaction and interpretation to me being myself and releasing my art. You know, if there's anything I learned, you have to protect yourself.
Yeah,
and
that's real.
Your own soul. And, you know, like at some point I was following the social media, almost getting like allured by it. You know, like, oh, wow, whoa, whoa, whoa. Then I'm like, you know, honestly, good or bad, let me just tap out, you know, because regardless, the match has been lit. The discussion sent me on my path, and you know, I don't need to get into petty arguments on the internet. Yeah. They sure are fun though. They sure are fun.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Well, so maybe we should coordinate the release of it. So I got a love, like kind of a love song too as well. Maybe we'll do a 1-2 punch. We can either drop the love songs to get the, like, the, the cushion for ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we could drop it, or maybe we drop that one and go so that the grief's not, or we're not.
There's some sort of saying somewhere in it that like represents exactly what we're talking
about. Yeah. It's like the 1-2 punch of that's what we got to figure out. I guess we'll pilot if it's a 1-2 of, or maybe we drop it, on either side. Maybe one of us goes love song, then we drop it. Yeah. And then the other drops their love song. We see who gets through it better.
Yeah, exactly. You be the guinea pig. You go first.
Okay.
I'll get on the back end of it. We'll figure it out from there.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I'll bite. I'll take that bet. So I'll drop the love song first, and we do closure, and then you get to drop your love song, and then we'll see.
That works best for me.
Right on. Well, cool, man. I truly appreciate you taking this time, man. I guess anything else you want to put out there before I let you get back to it?
I think, you know, kind of just in general, you know, MLB, it's crazy that because of quarantine, I've had to do so much independently just because, you know, getting 7 people together is dangerous and whatnot. But yeah, we're working super hard. Our tour, like, we create a lot of great connections. Obviously, we have to see how the landscapes in all over the country gets connected, but we're connecting with a lot of artists that have a lot of power in each city right now.
Oh, beautiful.
And so we're working on getting our tour whenever we are allowed to, which they're talking about fall 2021. You know, whenever we are able to get on the road, you know, we got Jam in the Van on deck. We got, 14 people committed to going on tour and yes, spreading love. And, you know, we're getting more seasoned and casting our net wider, and so whenever that day comes where we can put 6 to 14 people on stage again, MLB is going to be there. Until then, we've got a bunch of music in the vault, so we're just going to start releasing it. We got videos, you know, we got content, so we're just going to start trickling it out. And you know, I love that MLB is something that each artist is able to use as they build their own platform during COVID as well, because that means when we come back together, it's going to be a bunch of super, like, it's going to be like the Avengers of people working on all types of music. Josh is making, like, you know, 2 beats a day, engineering a bunch of music and working with a bunch of people. Tane's doing the same. Him and I are hosting a radio, or like a live stream show every Thursday at 6 p.m. called The Cure.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, I'm interviewing the Nomads during my segment tomorrow. So everybody tune in, and just I'm really using this time to expand the most as I can as an artist, and I'm working as hard as I can. So I'm appreciative of everybody that tunes in, supports me, or doesn't even support me, you know, just puts their eyes on what I'm doing, because this is my life and this is my passion. So somebody like you, bro, that's just done so much for me, Doc. Wow. I can't thank you enough, for real, because, you know, this is – people see how passionate I am. It's kind of now coming to the surface, but it's been this way for, you know, ever since I decided to leave CMU to do this, and it means everything to me.
Yeah, man. I always love getting to talk with you. I mean, this is all you. I'm happy to even get to jump in and talk to you about the ride. So, truly appreciate you taking the time. So excited. I'm excited to check out the radio. I didn't know you and Tane were doing a radio show, so...
Facebook Live, and it's called The Cure, and we're raising money for nurses. And so, you know, each week we'll have musical guests, but it's like a show. Like, we got commercials, we got intros, you know, we're like, Tane takes it super serious, you know, and so do I. So we had a production meeting today, and this guy, Russ, is behind the scenes, like, zooming in on different people and understands as a shot list. So. Yeah, we're trying to diversify and be like water with these times, and I think it's kind of working, so we'll see.
That's awesome, man. Well, seriously, like I said, thank you for just keeping me inspired. I'm stoked to see what the MLB does when this is all said and done. Can't wait for the world to hear the Hawaii LP. Yes. And stoked to hear all these songs, man. It sounds like you're gonna have, if you wanted, you've got now years worth of, if you wanted to drop a track a day or a track a week almost.
I was thinking about that, you know. I just want to commit myself, like, if I could make 300 songs this year or 500 songs over the next 2 years, then everything is going to be okay.
Dude, yeah, that's incredible, and it's super inspirational to see the way that you're just growing, continue to grow as a man and as an artist. So appreciate you coming on here and sharing that, and just continuing to fight not only for yourself and your career, but those around you. It's super important, super inspiring. And
hey, we're in it together, buddy. Whether you like it
absolutely.
Or not,
absolutely, yeah, dude, yeah. No, you need anything, you let me know, and I appreciate you keeping me on the loop and just coming and talking about the stuff that you're doing and really just helping artists in the greater Seattle area, but really hopefully this can go beyond the region and just help people know what's out there for them, how they can make their scenes better, look out for one another, and you really embody that. So thank you again.
Love, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah, cheers. Give me something I can believe. 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 Gotta have faith in me. Yeah. Believe in your heart that you're finna be up on this. Yeah. Deep in your soul, not caring what the heathen sees. Yeah. Can trust what they're telling you, ain't going out that way. No, no. Gotta have faith in me. Yeah. Believe in your heart that you're gonna be up one day. Yeah. Deep in your soul, not caring what the heathen says. Yeah. Can't trust what they're telling you, ain't going out that way. No.
Kicking down the door like Spartica. Why tell me they proud of us? It was just a dollar in a dream, but now they want my ears like Malcolm. Now I'm not worried about the outcome. Riding around, do it anyway. Penny for your thoughts, went the heart away. Shoot a fade away, scream Kobe. Now I got something to believe in. How they got faith in the heathens. Knew I was put here for a reason. At the high school giving speeches. Walk around Hawaii like I'm He-Man. Had to give them something to believe in. Why my Tuesday like a weekend. With a shirt swimming in the deep end. Gotta have faith in me. Yeah. Believe in your heart that you're gonna be up one day. Yeah. Deep in your soul, not caring what the heathen says. Yeah. Can't trust what they're telling you, ain't going out that way. No.
No girl a chain, I do my thing. I just believe in myself. Whoa. Catching a plane, swimming the rain. You wasn't seeing the wealth. No, no. We on a vibe from state to state. We smoking tree and it helps. Cause you wasn't seeing the wealth. No, we never needed the help. No, no. I had a couple of wishes. I told them I really wanna go and follow my dreams. So I hit J-Mo and Marshall creating a awesomely growing, uniting a team. I had a couple of wishes. I told them I really wanna go and follow my soul. So I chose music. I'll use it for good and influence you to achieve all the goals.
Gotta have faith in this. Yeah. Believe in your heart that you're gonna be up on this. Yeah. Your soul, not caring what the heathen says. Yeah, can't trust what they're telling you, ain't going out that way. No.
Give me something to believe.
Me no wanna fake facade, no. Positivity is the outcome. Despite all the love, no respect to the ones that were hate, cause they see that we boss, no. God give me faith to believe, yeah. Help me assert and achieve, yeah. Conquer my goals and my dreams. Stronger than any of my enemies, yeah. Cooler like a summer breeze. Smooth with a little sugar, honey, iced tea, ooh. Feeling so grateful, and I'm hella thankful for that many blessings, believe, ooh. Be great on the way, get ready, ready, away. While I'm trying to get paid, the cheese, yeah. Ain't no searching for the cloud, no, I'm finna work it out. Gotta be ready enough for the
gotta
dream,
yeah. Gotta have faith in this, yeah. Believe in your heart that you're gonna be up on this, yeah. Deep in your soul, not caring what the heathen says, yeah. Can't trust what they're telling you, ain't going out that way, no.
Give me something to believe in, give me something to believe in, la la la.
That was Give Me Something to Believe In by the Marshall Law Band off the Hawaii LP. You can purchase it from them directly right now via DM, so hit them up at Marshall Law Band on Twitter or Instagram. So be sure to give all those accounts a follow. And to be part of the change, check out the Seattle Independent Artist Sustainability Effort. All these links will be in the Audio Boom site, and I'll be sure to have them on our socials as well. And as always, if you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort, and I will see you next time.